This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan, September 25th, 2024. We will take you all the way up to 6:15 ahead of pregame of Nats baseball. They are in action tonight right here on The Fan at 6:45. Ladies and gentlemen, live from our Half Street studios, back in D.C. after a late night flight, Danny Ruye.
Hey, dude. Felt weird to just do normal life stuff today. You know, like got up in the morning, got the kids to school and, you know, putzing around the house, etc. I was like, but just 36 hours ago, I watched Aiden Daniels destroy the universe, and that was way cooler. You know, I was on the road with no responsibilities, nobody asking me for anything. You know what that's like? Where, like, no one's like, Dad, I need this. Like, no one said that one time. I want to go back on that trip. Can we do the trip again?
What a great trip.
That was awesome.
The trip is made by the game, though. If they would have gone out and got embarrassed, we would have had some fun moments and some good memories and some shtick and some skits and bits to talk about. But the game itself is what's going to make that one memorable for years to come. When we went out to New Orleans, we still talk about all the food you ate.
Yes.
We still talk about our guy Christian taking such good care of us on the road. Hopefully we'll be back in New Orleans seeing old friends again this year. But Danny, the game, one of the great recent games in Washington football history, the best game since they've become the Commanders, a top 10 game by almost any measure in the 2000s. And we went through them yesterday. We ranked them all. Probably the most exciting, hope-inducing game this team has played since week one of 2012, 12 years ago.
You just couldn't believe it was happening while it was happening, right? I mean, the number of times we were seated like a, you know, kind of a half section, a couple rows behind our crew from Kondori and Morad that took us out there. And, you know, they'd look back at us like after a big play or something like that. And all three of us, you, me, and Darius, are all going, what?
So true.
Like, what is this?
We kept making eye contact. Every Commanders fan will understand this. The response was, yeah, some cheers and some excitement, but also, like, how is this happening?
Yeah, like, Darius had more, like, let's go, like, doing, like the cheering moments, right? I didn't have those. Not because I'm not happy. I'm watching this thing happen, and this is what I'm rooting for.
How
I want this to happen.
How much of your silence was you didn't know what to do at an NFL stadium, and how much of it was pure shock?
98, the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. Two, it's all a little rusty. But I'm just in utter disbelief. Fourth downs, like nothing. Passes being converted. Just offense walking up and down the field. Again, Tressway has basically punted, what, a couple times in September?
It was great to have him on the show yesterday to talk about not punting, by the way. If you missed that interview and we're done, you should go listen to it. He's always hilarious. It was fantastic. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Lay of the land today. We will blitz the East at 5. You know that division the Commanders are leading? Those poor Cowboys looking up at Washington, those nubby Giants who don't know what they would do if they were the Commanders for a day, and even the Eagles, who, while they have the same record, are looking up at Washington in the division by way of a tiebreaker. We will blitz the NFC East coming up at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Got to give some credit to and love to Jaden Daniels today, as he has been honored as the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. The NFL doling out those awards as they always do on Wednesday. So he already won a Rookie of the Week award.
Indeed.
Back in week one of the NFL season. This one's different, though. This is the overall player of the week offensively, of all the veterans of every offensive player in the NFC. Jaden Daniels, the first Washington player to win NFC Player of the Week honors since Adrian Peterson did so halfway through the 2018 season in Week 8. He's the first quarterback for the team to win the award since Kirk O'Chains back in 2017. And he's the first Washington rookie to win the award since Robert Griffin III 12 years ago.
Yeah, rightly so. He was unbelievable. There are other great performances this week, too, by the way. But when you start talking about first time someone's done this since then, the first time that somebody's had this completion percentage, you know, this efficient, this number of yards, Monday Night Football, prime time against a what people still think of as a pretty decent opponent that was beyond hungry for a W, yeah, that makes sense. He should have gotten the award this week. That's awesome.
I've got a good update for you.
Please.
My bag is on the way.
Oh!
To Virginia.
That's what I wanted to do to start the show, is to ask you about what happened.
So, a little story for people from our flight back last night. We got delayed a couple of times, but while we were at the airport, I don't know how this happened. This is the ultimate amateur hour move. I want everyone to know, rookie mistake, I'm raising my hand, I'm telling you, this one's on me. I threw a ball into double coverage. I didn't see the zoning linebacker. It's just a throw you can't make. Went to the wide side of the field, left it inside for the DB for a pick six. So I didn't check my bag. I normally do, but I didn't this time. I didn't have enough stuff that I had to check anything, and it was just more convenient and easy not to. So because of that, I go through security with my book bag and a small rolly suitcase. When we were ready to board the plane, some almost 3 hours later because of three delays, as they're finally calling our flight to line up and our group is boarding, I look at Danny and Darius and I go, wait a second. Where's my suitcase? Everyone starts looking at each other. We've sat in the same spot for a couple of hours. It's not there. The only thing I did was go and get some Grater's ice cream because a couple of people told me on Instagram Live, you can't leave Cincinnati without eating some of that ice cream. And I thought it was just a message from the good Lord above that there was one 20 yards away while they had told me that. I said, okay, I'll see what it's all about. And by the way, they were right.
Mm.
That was the best chocolate ice cream I've had in a long, long time. But the bag wasn't there either. And so I'm going, it's one of two places. It's either at the bar that Darius and I sat at to get a water, no food, because they wouldn't let us because it was $6.50 and they'd already closed.
By the way.
Least friendly bar in America.
You know what they were not excited about? Having you guys patronize their establishment.
Darius, there were two employees in that bar. How many of them yelled at us at different points before we left?
Let me count. One, two employees yelled at us.
Yeah, two did.
Yeah.
So what I realized after the fact is they were treating us like we walked in 1 minute before closing at 10:59 at night. You know how you just, if you've ever worked in a restaurant and that guy
walks in. You've seen the movie Waiting, you know.
They were doing that, but apparently they closed at 7, and we walked in at 6:56 or whatever, and they're like, we're not doing food. I said, okay, I don't want any food. You got to sit at the bar. You can't sit anywhere else. I don't mind sitting at the bar. And they were just so upset. So that restaurant was long closed, lights turned off, it was dark, there was a gate across it like a mall after hours, right? I said, maybe my bag's in there, I'll never know. The only other place it could have been was coming through security if I just picked up my book bag out of the bin, put my shoes on, and then didn't grab my rolly bag. One way or the other, it was at one of those two locations,
right?
And I wasn't going to stay in Cincinnati while you guys flew away to find out. All I had in the bag was clothes for a few days. Couple of pairs of khaki pants, couple polos, some jeans.
Toiletries, but they can be replaced.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the toothbrush or the hair gel I got from Floyd's 99.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? This is not worth the stress or the anxiety. We're leaving this bag here. We are on to Washington, D.C. When I landed, I had to do some paperwork, a little bit of a process. I got an email today. They have located my bag.
No way.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm betting it was at the restaurant.
No idea. I'll never know.
Oh.
It's either the restaurant or security.
So here's what I thought happened. You left it at the restaurant because they were just so excited for you not to be there anymore. And the idea normally you would say, hey, somebody left this behind. I, as a regular human being with like concerns and you know, just empathy, would try to find the owner, thinking they're probably in this section of the airport where only four gates are active, right? There's nothing.
That is a great point. It was a small enough airport, and it was, even though it was not late at night, it was late enough seemingly in the airport's business hours that there were a total maybe of three flights and like 80 people in the entire wing.
So they were all with everybody that was going to fly was within 100 yards of that entrance.
Totally.
But there's still now, and you guys know this, like let's say you pick up a wallet or you pick up somebody's whatever they've left behind. Once you start to go, hey, is this anyone's? You now have ownership of that. And you need to see that through. What you're not going to do is just leave it back on the ground where you found it and say, time to go about my day. So nobody in there, because they wanted to go home so badly, was going to start taking ownership of the suitcase going, is this anybody's? Is this anybody's?
Can you make an announcement? Turned off the lights and locked the door and said, we'll deal with it in the morning?
Yes.
It's very possible.
I think that's exactly what happened. Because if someone went, oh my God, they left a bag. Well, dude, don't say anything because now we've got to stay until they find it.
Now, I've never left a bag at security, but I hear the announcements over the speakers all the time.
Yes.
Where they go, did somebody leave a laptop? Please report to TSA. Somebody left their laptop. Nothing like that. And we were there for, I'm not exaggerating, because of the delays, like two-ish hours.
Yeah.
It was funny because as we were about to board the plane and I realized I didn't have a bag, and now we're in this super time crunch of, can I run back to TSA and maybe miss the flight? I said, if only we could have a delay. I could use a couple more minutes.
I could use a few.
But I just sat around so calm for hours and then realized I didn't have my bag at the very end right before it was time to board the plane. But it didn't matter because when I told the lady that was at the counter about my situation, she said, oh, well, they're closed.
Yeah.
I said, who's closed? She's like, TSA's closed. Again, it's 7:52 p.m. Like, what do you mean they're closed? She's like, yeah, I can't call them. There's no one there right
now. It's not like Christmas. You know what I mean? It's not like the highest of high holidays.
It's so weird. Yeah. And by the way, you're like, oh, it's Kentucky. It's a tiny airport. Not really.
It's Cincinnati's airport, man.
It's Cincinnati airport. It's Kentucky, and it's Indiana, and it's Ohio.
It's a tri-state area.
It's a Tuesday night.
Yeah. People are flying. Right?
I actually saw the schedule for the theater that's there. They have like an indoor theater where they do some minor league hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher and some other people are there this week. Like, you would think there's some people coming in and out of there. There are events. There are games.
Yeah,
the Reds are done, but the Bengals have other home games. Someone might be flying.
They're a little bit overwhelmed by some of these things.
But it was my fault. And the bag is on the way. I've got to pay the shipping.
Of course.
$70 to get it back,
but there—that's your tax for getting it. I mean, that seems reasonable to me.
That is a $70 mistake. I will pay gladly for.
Yeah.
So, you may not see me in my best jeans for a couple of days.
That's fine.
But otherwise,
it's fine.
Everything's going to be okay,
dude. We need to remind ourselves to comment on Grant's jeans when he comes in tomorrow.
Those are my number two. Those are my jeans.
Jeez, Grant. Those jeans.
Those are my Jeff Driscoll jeans. That's not the A game.
Those are your Hartmans.
Those are my Mariotas right there. So let's not comment on the Mariotas. We're just trying to get by for a day or two.
Nice jeans, Marcus.
The best thing about it, though, was my wife didn't in any way make it an indictment overall about my adult capabilities, my travel skills, or how badly off I would be without her. She did not in any way make it a
referendum. She didn't seize on that opportunity?
No.
Interesting.
She was great about it. Because I was a little nervous when I told her, like, hey, you won't believe what happened. Rookie mistake here. Like, I thought she might, like, take a chance to really go after me about how, like, you know, you're not good at things.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Mm. Thank God you have me. She didn't do any of that.
None of those things?
Like, this is shocking.
This is no reflection on you at all.
You are so good. I'll bet somebody else screwed up. I think that was the quote.
What an isolated incident.
Yeah.
Because the thing you make fun of me all the time for a million things, rightfully so. But what annoys me in general, and I'm not happy this happened to you, so this is gonna sound conflicting.
Oh no.
But you are so it's gonna work out. Like your attitude when it comes to travel and logistics and those sorts of things. Now, forget like setting up for shows and things like that.
Sure.
Where, like I had the same concern. I'd like this to be hardwired and let's please like have this already. But like in terms of travel, it's like the flight leaves at 7:45 and it's like 7:10. You're like, ah, it'll be fine. I'll get through security. It'll be fine. And it always seems to work out for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's I think ultimately good that this is only a $70 little tax.
It doesn't sound like you're not happy about this.
I'm not happy. But There's a blessing here, right? There's a potential lesson. It's a teachable moment.
Growth opportunity. Okay.
Where maybe it's not just going to work itself out. Maybe things have to happen for it to work out. Maybe that's the lesson. Maybe that's the takeaway.
In other words, if I keep getting away with these throws,
yeah,
and they just fall safely to the ground, or these picks get dropped, these turnover-worthy plays at PFF aren't interceptions.
They aren't interceptions.
when do I stop making the throw?
Maybe in a game that you've already lost. Maybe it's a multiple delayed flight and you're already kind of wearing it. It's a 30-point L. You're going to lose anyway if you complete the pass or not. Now you threw the interception, and the light bulb goes off.
So my number one priority at the airport was doing some Instagram Lives where I just showed everyone Danny stewing and worrying that we were never going to fly out because he was convinced.
I was convinced. I was wrong.
The moment we had a 25-minute delay the first time, and you were correct in saying there's going to be a couple more of these, but it was about an hour total. It was not a big deal. Very small delays.
Ended up being normal.
But Danny was 100% convinced we were going to be in some random airport hotel in whatever area of Kentucky we were in overnight at the Best Western or whatever.
Because after the first delay, you're watching 25 people just stand by the counter in line. What are they in line for? What are they doing? I think they knew. In my mind, I'm going, they already know.
So it did look like people were getting their hotels like divvied out. It was that kind of a line. But I went up to a guy at one point who happens to be a listener. So if he's listening, what's goody? And he's wearing his Commander's gear, and I'm like, why is everybody in line? And he goes, honestly, I'm not sure. I thought we were boarding. And then I pointed outside the window. I'm like, but there's no plane.
There's no plane. Such a key element of flying. It's such an important part.
I was like, well, but there's no plane. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's a good point. Like, I don't know why we're in line.
Well, it's like one of the times where it's like the flight's been delayed or whatever. Like, I can't remember which announcement. But they go, you know, the flight should be boarding in 15 minutes. I was like, I bet you it doesn't. You're like, what do you mean? I was like, there's no airplane. Such a huge part. There are no airplanes coming or going from this airport. There's a weather warning. The whole thing is a hot mess.
It's a lot harder to fly without the plane.
It's such a key ingredient.
Not impossible, but harder.
Close.
Really close.
Yep.
Today is not Tuesday. You're going to be confused. Follow us. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
But normally on Tuesday, because it's 2 days after the game,
right?
We do Commander Survivor.
Oh.
Today's 2 days after the game.
Yep.
If so facto, it's a Commander's Survivor Wednesday. You call the shots at facebook.com/Grant and Danny right now. Somebody is getting immunity. Somebody is getting sent home. Darius, who has immunity this week? Who is safe?
Come on now. You know it's the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week last week.
Austin Cybertron, man.
Austin Seibert doesn't need immunity. He doesn't have to worry about it. He was 1-for-1 and 5-for-5, field goals and extra points. Got his workout in, kicking all those extra points with Jaden Daniels on the offense humming. That was the only time we got to see old Tressler, the holder for the Commanders, was when Austin Seibert's number got called to boot the ball through the uprights. So kick somebody off the island that didn't play well and give somebody immunity for this Week 3 gem against the Bengals. Next, speaking of Washington and Cincinnati, we'll put a bow on the game today. Was Monday night's strong showing fun or for real? Was that just a good night when we look back at it? Or is this what this team's going to start becoming? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I think it also goes to, like, I don't know if you saw it on the sideline, Scott, but like the way they were pulling for one another. you know, the next group supporting the next group, supporting the next group. So as important as confidence is, when you have all three phases that are absolutely pulling for one another to go, toughness and brotherhood can get you a long way. And the team is moving up into that, to where that has to become our superpower, where their ability to look after one another, support one another, go hard for one another, that's where true confidence comes from.
That's Dan Quinn. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Welcome back on this Survivor Wednesday. You're going to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote a commander off the island and to vote one of the players immune going into week four. Next up, a Sunday game in Arizona against the Cardinals. The Commanders are already there. In fact, they flew directly from Cincinnati to Arizona. They spent a couple extra hours in the locker room, soaking up the win, celebrating. They got to the airport. They flew overnight, got some sleep on the bird, and then landed, got some more sleep, and they'll be back on the practice field moving forward now midweek into Sunday. I think it's really smart, actually, for two reasons. The first is obvious. I think it's better on their bodies, and it takes 5 minutes talking to whatever the team sleep doctor and psychologist is. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's best for us? They vote on it, and then the coach does whatever they say. And clearly, it's travel. A lot of teams don't do it for a bevy of reasons, one of which is it is pretty expensive. I mean, it's a lot of money that you're shelling out, and there's no real proven way to say this is helpful. So the ROI, when you convince somebody to spend that money, can be complicated. But the thing I didn't consider that I saw in Dan Quinn's transcript from yesterday's press conference, he thinks this is going to be helpful because they're not coming home after this giant win to their families, to their friends, to spend time around all of their loved ones and buddies who are going to tell them how amazing Monday was and how awesome they are. And I didn't really think about that, but I actually think there's something to that. Like, over the years, this team, when they've had a win like this, there haven't been many of them, but these stunningly impressive, awesome nighttime, primetime performances, you read your press clippings a little bit, and they almost always the next week come back to earth. And maybe that happens. I don't know what happens yet in Arizona. But don't you think there's something to, like, Dan Quinn's point was, we don't have any time to go back home and for anyone to basically pump our tires. We are on to the next. We're going to be insulated. We're not going to be seeing TV or reading anything. We're going to be at the team hotel. I'm keeping the guys busy, and we are focusing on the Cardinals. I actually think that could be really beneficial.
And there's something to that. I mean, to me, it's more what I thought of was they don't have a go-away training camp. They all go to their homes every night when they're in Ashburn, right? So this is almost like a de facto training camp where you're away from home for a couple of weeks doing nothing but football, living, breathing, eating, sleeping, you know, trying to go win football games. I mean, with that axiom, though, where you go, you play well a couple times. Let's say they play well this week and win, which would be awesome. You eventually do have to come home and you eventually have to see your loved ones and see some of those press clippings. But I understand it to a degree where for a team that isn't used to dealing with one of the things we always talk about is they don't handle prosperity very well. This organization just simply hasn't going all the way back to the beginning of Snyder. Anytime something good happened, you knew that the other shoe was about to drop. You knew that the ice was going to give way or whatever, and everything was going to go back to being terrible and maybe worse than it was before. So I understand that to a degree for a group that's trying to prove itself and establish something, that this might be coming at the right time.
We're opening up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for the first time today right now on Grant and Danny. The question is, was Monday night fun or was it for real? How sustainable was that? The party is continuing, and I fully get it. Our bit that we like to do on this show generally, our routine to lay out, you know, our weekday schedules is, we normally chop up the game from all angles for a day. We give ourselves, if it's really bad, a day to beat up on the team or yesterday to just throw ourselves a party. As fans of the team, you guys have earned it. It's going to be fun. But at some point, there are real conversations, larger conversations in wins or losses that are much beyond 60 minutes of football in four quarters and a tiny sample. And while we're going to continue the party to some extent today, I think there are some opportunities to figure out what was legit and what was just the stars aligning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was sustainable and authentic to what this team's going to be versus no penalties, no turnovers, some good fortune with the Bengals kicker that never misses, missing a field goal, you know, a pass interference in the end zone on a 2-point conversion that doesn't get called, you know, some things like that going your way. 800-636-1067. So how much would you say was for real versus fun?
So obviously it was fun. It's the most fun you could have. But I'd say a lot of it's for real. Now, the things you mentioned specifically are not, right? But if you told me big picture, an offense that can take advantage of a bad defense, a quarterback that's dynamic, a group that can move the football with a pretty good plan from the offensive coordinator, I do think that's for real. I also think it's for real they're going to give up a million yards in points. I also think it's for real that that defense can't stop anybody. So they're going to have some games like that. Now, I don't think you're having that against Baltimore. You're probably not doing that against Pittsburgh or maybe some of the other teams, right? They'll have something to say about it on that side of the ball. So you might get stuff there. But if you play a team that's bad on defense, you're going to see some special stuff here and there with a quarterback that's dynamic. So to me, there's a lot of it big picture that's for real. Again, the specifics you mentioned, you couldn't have been more fortunate on a million different fronts. And that's football. That happens. I'm not taking anything away from that performance. It was amazing. But there'll be a fourth penalty, you know, in a couple of weeks. That's going to happen.
There will not be another game, I don't think, that they play where they are so constantly for almost three quarters ahead of the chains in really opportune situations for play calling and playmaking. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So it was the ultimate kind of 72 and sunny environment in that way. Shouldn't have been, because it was so loud and the crowd was so into the game for probably 2.5 quarters, I would say. And then things really dissipated in-house where fans were leaving and getting disenfranchised. And based on three games, not just one, we're starting to get angry and turn on the Bengals and started booing right around halftime. But I think what was for real to me was, I think that is as good as it gets for Cliff Kingsbury, but the offensive design and getting guys open and when he wasn't right, Jaden Daniels made him right. Occasionally, he made life easy on Daniels. Like, I think that's the apex of what they can be. I don't think they'll have another game like that. Like, to me, that's going to be Kingsbury's best game as an OC. That will probably be Daniels' best game of the season as a quarterback. So just because it's the ceiling performance doesn't mean it's not authentic. It's for real. It's just not going to be the norm, if that makes sense.
It does.
It's like a sharpshooter in basketball who has that in his bag where he can go out and shoot the lights out and hang 40, but more often than not, he's going to miss some of those open looks and he's going to have 27 or 28, which is still really good too. So I think it was for real in that Terry McLaurin didn't do anything he can't normally do. Daniels didn't necessarily do anything that was outside of his skill set. But I just think a lot of guys collectively, specifically offensively, had the best version of their games at the same time. And you put all that together with the perfect situation of ahead of the chains, no penalties, no turnovers, and you get a pretty nasty outcome. And that's what we saw.
Yeah, that's what happened.
What is not for real, maybe, what is more fun, I would say, it's just some of the really odd game sequence stuff, like the penalties. They haven't turned the ball over all year. There's going to be a game where they turn it over twice in the first half. If you're in Arizona, maybe this weekend or at some point, maybe it's home against the Browns in a couple of weeks, the first drive, you're going to have a second and 19 or a 10-yard hold that sets up, after a run or something, like a second and 16, and then a third and 14 or whatever. That's coming. And those don't get converted, but at a 15 or 10% clip or whatever. We didn't really see any of that. So I think a lot of it was for real too, man. It was a good offense, a bad defense. That's probably what this is going to be moving forward for the most part. It's not going to be that good offensively, and hopefully it's not that bad defensively, and the truth somewhere in the middle is not that different from an outcome standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to think about it, right? I mean, again, I'm looking at it more, less specifics of what happened. That's when you start going, this has never happened since 1940, right? We're talking about, all the no turnovers, no penalties for however long, and this number of points, consecutive drives without punting. These are rarefied air moments. There's going to be a three and out. There's going to be like a muff snap, but just normal football adversity stuff happens. This ride has been amazing. These last couple weeks have been, just delightful. So much fun offensive football and the growth of Daniels and everything that comes with that. But there's no higher league than this. There's going to be adversity. A team that you don't expect to jump up and punch you in the mouth is going to do that. I mean, look at this past week. Carolina couldn't do anything offensively, defensively. They could barely get the teams to the game at this point. And then they went out and put up a million points on the Raiders, right? And they looked incredible, like one of the best teams in the league. And Andy Dalton is having a renaissance moment. Unexpected stuff happens, dude. These are pros all around the league. So there's going to be some tough moments, kind of to your point. But big picture, to me, what's sustainable is an offense that's hard to defend because anything that you shut off, there's a bit of a counter, and there's kind of that wild card of having a quarterback that can be wrong and still get positive yards.
This is why teams are in love with running quarterbacks,
yes.
By the way. I was texting with Logan Paulson a little bit last night when I landed and was driving home, and he had watched the film, and he said, you know, there's a few plays where basically the play's dead. There's just nothing there, and Jaden scrambles for 5 or 6 or 7. Which, by all accounts, is a great football play.
Mm-hmm.
A 5-plus-yard play is really good. Now, not if it's 3rd and 9, but it wasn't. It's 1st and 10, it's 2nd and 8, you know, and you're just moving the chains closer and setting yourself up fortuitously. And that floor-raising skill is why all the teams want the quarterback that can run.
That's right.
It's still, like, it's never been my proclivity, because I have not, to this point, really found the guy that is super comfortable doing that and wants to do it all the time, who's also the excellent pocket passer, and hopefully Daniels can become that guy. I like the, you know, throwing quarterback, the guy that majors in passing, who's an athlete, like an Allen, or you know, somebody more traditional, like what Deshaun Watson was, frankly, in Houston. What you know, what you see sometimes with guys that are able to run when they have to but don't prefer it, like early career Russell Wilson type athlete, slippery, that kind of guy, than just the guy that runs a lot. But what was so awesome about Daniels on Monday night was, for the first time in 3 weeks, when he left the pocket, he kept his eyes downfield, mm-hmm. and he still was not thinking run, run, run. He was thinking, do I have anything to throw? That was the first time I've seen him do that really in 3 weeks, and it's only taken 3 weeks. If that's the norm now, that's a huge development. We'll just have to see if it is. Birds in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Was that for real or was that just fun?
Well, one of the reasons I don't think it's necessarily for real is because the first thing is you got to find somebody that can produce what Austin is going to produce. He was a spark that stirred that whole drink the other night.
Yep. True.
Every time he steps on the field, he's got a different gear that nobody had. Brian Robinson doesn't even have that gear. And if you can't replace that output, we're going to find out that it's fraudulent off the break, because he was the running game. Brian Robinson did nothing last week, not taking anything from the week before. But Aguilar has never touched the ball since he's been with us and not had a spark in any game, even the one we lost. And then as far as McLaurin, unless McLaurin's going to beat everybody on a go route every week, that's the only route he showed us that he can actually get open on is the go route.
Appreciate you. Yeah, there's still some questions to be answered on route tree stuff, but I'll say this. For a week, I'm not going to beat the wide receiver drum, because after 2 weeks of mostly being uninvolved, those guys were what they majored in the passing game, and everybody had a hand. McCaffrey made plays. Noah Brown made plays.
That's right.
McLaurin had a monster 100-yard game. Deami Brown, even, who we can poke fun at not being
involved. Had a couple clutch moments,
man. He had a couple of huge catches on that final drive to go set up what was the game winner to McLaurin on some screens. So everybody did their part. But I will drill down on the Eckler point. Austin Eckler's been marvelous.
Yes.
And he's right. He looks like he's shot out of a cannon. Like, it is stunning to me how quick he is. It just looks like he's not faster than everybody else, but like he's moving.
He gets to top speed way quicker than everyone
else. It's like a car. Yeah. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like 0 to 60. Like, his burst is back. And it's so obvious if you watch. Now, we don't know that he's not going to play in Arizona. It seems like it would trend that way because it's a short week. You got a concussion on Monday night. You didn't fly with the team. You're in Ashburn, presumably still at this moment. So hopefully he only misses one game if he's got to miss the Cardinals. But that does feel like a pretty big loss.
It's massive. And he's the, you know, they came up with some really creative designs to have them both on the field at the same time. That weird little Austin hiding behind Brian Robinson formation and that kind of offset eye out of a pistol.
That was awesome.
Which was really neat.
Daniels was in the gun, basically, directly behind center. And then if you could picture it, directly at his hip to his right was an I formation, one behind the other by about a yard or two, of both of his running backs. So the shape almost looked like, you know, center, come back 5 yards to Daniels, and then to his right, he taps the helmet of, like, the first of two backs. It was a weird formation.
But you're going, the defense has to go, okay, what is this? What are we doing? What are we looking at? What are we keying on?
To the right, and Eckler kind of sprays out to the left in a pass formation.
Just delightful. That's the kind of thing I want. I'm telling you, Eckler is their best offensive player. right? Like that, you can't overuse it because of injury. I mean, you've already seen it. Now he's, wishing him the best, obviously, but he's concussed, and so they don't want to wear him down. But you saw in that touchdown, everyone is flat-footed, and he's already burst through the secondary, and he's got to make one guy miss, and he does for a touchdown. That little swing pass to the right on a screen, there's a lot of traffic there. Another running back probably gets tackled. He does not because he's bursting through, falling forward for 16.
What was for real about Monday Night Football, and what are you worried was just a fun one-off? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Down and five. Good protection aired out. McLaurin, he's got it. First and goal inside the five. And a beauty from the rookie Jaden Daniels for 56.
What a throw that was. Deep downfield, first time in the young season they hit a long ball to McLaurin. It won't qualify as a home run on the game winner, but that was even a better throw. I still cannot stop watching that throw. Because there's so many elements to it that make it incredible. I was talking yesterday, Danny, about how there was a 10% chance at the time of release via Next Gen Stats that the game-sealing touchdown in the corner of the end zone to McLaurin got completed. He threw it before he had gotten to the defensive back. You call that play thinking you get man press coverage. They didn't.
They didn't.
You would, theoretically, oftentimes get out of that play or bury that part of the play, that read, just based on the look. But this was a, hey, if they play it that way, I'm going to win anyway kind of thing. Let's let Terry try to put the game on ice. Let's let him call game. So they ran it anyway. But to throw that ball when he did before McLaurin had gotten even with the defender.
It's about 3 yards separation at that point. So McLaurin hasn't, just to give people the visual, McLaurin is running towards that corner of the end zone. The defender has a 3-plus-yard head start, sort of realizes, hey, this might be something that's going over my head, and is now beginning to turn and run, but it doesn't matter.
Threw it basically at the stutter and the stop-and-go kind of feel, right? And on top of that, he had a defender barreling down on him ready to destroy him, who did, by the way, basically crowned the helmet right under the chin. Just walloped.
Couldn't follow through.
A barely 200-pound quarterback we're worried about taking shots in the pocket, right? Stands in, takes the shot, delivers the perfect throw. You can't throw it any better. In fact, I don't think this is overstating this. I honestly think if you take quarterbacks around the league out onto a field in a practice setting where it's just, forget 11 on 11. Like there's a corner playing a wide receiver in a one-on-one drill, and you have to complete that pass with someone running toward your face into the back of the end zone with no other pass rush or anything, I would say that gets completed maybe half the time. And look, maybe if the next five times Daniels had to make that throw, maybe it doesn't get completed, I don't know. But that one did, with the game on the line and everybody watching on Monday Night Football in primetime. It was just breathtaking. Let's go to Bruce in Philly on G&D. Bruce, what was sustainable and replicable out of what they had on Monday night? And what do you worry was just kind of fun for an evening?
Well, I'm going to answer your question. I think it was fun for four reasons. One, I'm getting to talk to Grant and Danny for the first time. So that's fun.
Bruce, you're a good man listening on the Odyssey app. Thank you.
And I really wasn't concerned or even concerned with the defense and how porous they were because all I wanted to do was watch the offense play. that's where my focus was.
You've got to wait a few minutes for them to get the ball back after a score, but they'll get it back.
Well, exactly right, and that was the whole Monday conversation with losing 31-28. We'd be happy with that. The third thing is that I really wanted to watch your holder friend get a lot of airtime, so that was fun.
Tressway is a great holder.
He's a great holder.
He's one of the best in the league. He catches the ball when it's snapped to him.
Hall of Fame holder the last 2 weeks.
And then he puts it down. He puts his finger right down. Right on the nose
right
of the ball.
Right down.
And he'll spin the ball in one motion with the laces out. He's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. New kicker and everything. So, that's fantastic. And then I've lived in Philadelphia for the last, just outside Philly, for the last 26 years.
Sorry, man.
It hasn't been real fun for us up here. And I got two boys that are 18 and 24 right now. And I think the last time they were excited was the Griffin year. And that's a singular year. You know, I told them as they were growing up, it was okay if they wanted to be Philly fans. It might be a lot easier. But no, they've hung tough. And, you know, my youngest has a Daniels fan, a Daniels shirt now. And they're having a little bit of fun. So for all those reasons, they're fun. And I got an observation and one prediction, if you don't mind.
Yeah, be real quick, though. We're up against the clock here. What do you got?
The observation was Eckler looked a little bit like Brian Mitchell running that ball out for 50 yards. He wears number 30, mm-hmm. So that was cool.
I could see it.
And then the other prediction that I have is that we can probably give up 33 points without one of our interior linemen. And I wonder if Peters might try to move either Allen or Payne.
We've talked about this.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for the call. It's something we will continue to discuss depending on where the team is as they get closer to the deadline. If they're leading the NFC East at Halloween,
you don't do that.
You're not trading anybody, especially because on a bad defense, you need all the reinforcements you can get. But I will say this. I think that those two guys are playing at a better level than the numbers probably dictate. That can be true, and it can still also be said that you need more out of them and that maybe they're not delivering on as much as Peters would like. But if they're not looking like a team that is in playoff contention at the deadline, it would be silly not to at least shop those guys to see what you can get for a long-term rebuild. You traded Jahan Dotson away for a third-round pick. They have already shown they are not just thinking about this year. They've got a one-year plan and a five-year plan.
They're big picture, man, for sure.
So that's something that they'll have to consider as we get closer. Appreciate the phone call. What else happened in week three? We have been locked in on the Commanders, rightfully so. Let's stack up the Jaden Daniels performance against some of the other really good outings by quarterbacks and look around the NFL as we get ready for week four, now just a day away, right here on Grant and Danny.